Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut shaming podcast.
Yo, you haven't said?
I'm Christina Hutchins.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
And I'm your fucking boyfriend. Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's talk about fucking.
What up, fuckers? Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fuck.
It's the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
Welcome. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Yay.
Are you following us on social media?
You fucking better be.
That would be helpful. I know we give you some tasks every week, guys, but this
was homework.
This was the compromise that we made with it, the show being free. There has to be something. Nothing in life is free.
No,
we appreciate you. We love you.
It's an exchange of energy.
We hope you're well, but we also hope that you're following us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
Yeah, if you're not, fuck you. Okay.
That's maybe you're, not on. Honestly, if you're not online, God bless you. But then anytime someone like DMs me and they're not following me and they're like, I love you, I go, not enough.
Not that much.
Not
what the
enough.
Fuck? Why? I would never do that. I would never DM somebody that I like and admire and not follow them.
Well, my favorite move is when people ask to be on the show and they're not following me. And then you go, you got to be out of your goddamn mind. When a comic asks me to be on the show and they're not following me, I mean, even if you follow me, message me and then unfollow me.
Right. At least do
play
something.
The game a little bit.
It's insulting.
It's like, have you ever tried to court anyone in your entire life?
Probably not. Our special day is our debut comedy special out on youtube.com/guyswefucked without the U and fucked. You're going to want to make sure you've watched that at least a good dozen times. Thank you.
The comments are great. Everyone's like, I was bullied into coming here. But then I liked
it. Worked.
It worked.
And
I liked it.
We're tricking you, but it's for something good in the long run. So just trust us.
Yeah. Subscribe to that YouTube channel too. We have full episodes. I know you guys have been asking for a long time.
It's there.
Well, the views aren't reflecting how many people ask
Crickets.
To see them. So they're there.
Fuck you.
Every week. When the episode goes live everywhere, so not when it goes live for Lumine, when it goes live everywhere, that is when it also is on YouTube by 10 a.m. I did it 6 a.m. last week because I was playing with different times, but it's there Friday morning.
Play it in the background.
So if you want to see what's happening, you want to see the body language. A lot of people commented that they wanted to see the body language on the Stephen Jenkins interview.
Yeah. I did not want to sit next to him because I was a little nervous. The body language wasn't bad. I didn't think.
No, it was good. I mean, yeah, that's why, because a lot of people were like, oh, that was weird. And I was like, I honestly didn't find the interview to be weird. I just, he's a famous person. He can't.
He's a weirdo, but
he
like.
He can't talk about his whole like sex history.
Yeah. Also, like being that famous in the 90s is and still like kind of, and then having new music, but then reliving the 90s fame. Like, I can't imagine. Like, I was all like, play. How's it going to be? You know, just kind of like I'm forcing him to live in the past. But whatever.
All right. If you want to email us, it's sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. Make that subject line very specific and fun and interesting, but you know, don't lie to us. Subject line: was I a bitch for not posting my boyfriend on Instagram?
Yes.
Maybe we're gonna figure this out. Uh-oh, Mike was triggered in the corner.
Oh, wow. Maybe not everything's for social media.
Hi Corinne and Christina, especially if you're not the only one. First, of course, I must write about how much I absolutely love you guys. Thank you for being incredible role models. We don't want, no, I'm kidding. For what a woman looks like.
Oh, fuck you, bitch.
Oh, we just wanted to be comedians. I have learned so much from you guys, and y'all have opened my mind time after time. Thank you for standing up for things loudly, boldly, and consistency. You know what that leaves us with? Less Instagram followers.
Yep.
And thanks for being funny as fuck. We literally just had a company meeting about it before before
single
the camera started rolling.
Funny as fuck, single as hell.
The company meeting is me and Christina turning our backs on Mike and talking to each other.
Yeah.
While he sets up the camera.
He's allowed to be in the room, though. That's pretty cool.
That's nice of us.
We're we allow a man to be here.
You know what? We actually, you're the only one on the team who we didn't make sign an NDA.
Well, yeah, you know I'm very Jersey strong and loyal.
Yeah.
You know? That's you know what, I'm not going
to
snitch.
I'll go to your fucking house.
Yeah.
I don't
tell your mother.
I'm not a fed.
I'll call your fucking mom. Anyway, my question is based off of a conversation you had on the Luminary exclusive episode, Your Boyfriend is Fucking Your Sister.
What an epic one.
Mm. In this episode, you talk about when men won't post about their girlfriends on Insta. And Mike talked about an issue he had with Lex, it says on here.
Wait, what was it? what was
they're
the
naming
issue?
Your girlfriend, your
Hilarious.
Ex-girlfriend.
Because you've named her, right?
I don't care.
Yeah, no, he had.
I don't give a shit.
That
Go
she
with God.
That
oh, wow. He's not religious at all.
That she would never post him, and I felt my stomach drop because I was that girl.
Mm.
Oh, no.
That issue. Yeah, big one.
And hey, it's me, Lex, here to apologize. Now that Mike's on air, I wanted to change my ways. I forgot how Mike's big his stick is, but the girls remind us week after week. He's literally flooded with DMs. If you post one more robe picture.
I don't like that you're laughing.
Oh my God. If this man posts one more robe picture on his
Insta.
You're
just getting so much sex from this podcast that I am not getting any sex from this podcast.
Neither of us.
And it's really backwards, and it's really indicative of the way society treats women.
And I've mentioned a million times how much I appreciate it.
Cool. Well, go out there and find hot guys for us, Mike. Maybe that's how you say you appreciate it.
I would happily go out there and find hot guys for you guys, but you guys haven't put the request in.
Okay, well, this is our formal submission.
Request. All right, let's do it.
I'm not going to include myself in this.
I'll do it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I've had people that I connected with other ways then find out about the podcast, listen to it, and say it wasn't that bad, and that's the best the podcast has worked for
listen,
me.
Listen, also, Christina, a word of caution. I'm happy to set you up with somebody, but it may ruin your life. Ask Corinne.
Oh. Hey, it's better than being bored. So, yeah, sure.
I wasn't bored during that relationship, that's for sure.
And that's all I want. You know, I want happiness and mutual respect, but, that's, we'll see.
Yeah.
So 2 months into seeing... I feel like the times that we interject are the highlights of the show.
I agree.
When we stop talking about the writer's problems and we just go back to our own. I think that's what people tune in for.
That's what it's about.
So 2 months into seeing someone, a day after we decided to make it official, we went to the grocery store and he was taking a dumb video of me walking back to the car and posted it on his Insta story. In the name of honesty, she capsed it.
Oh gosh.
I was like, hey, I just want you to know that I probably won't post a ton about you on my Insta story because I am a musician and I want to keep my Insta page about my music life. Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And also want to appear single.
Okay, be honest.
Well, that's a strategy. Frank and I actually talked a lot about employing that same strategy when we were dating.
I will say, when a hot guy follows me, the first thing I look at is if he has a girlfriend. And if he does, I'm like, what a waste.
Yeah, what a waste of everyone's time and energy. Yep. I can't even believe I read that. Yep. Could have been reading a book. And I don't want my page to be about me being in a relationship.
Yeah.
Maybe sometimes you should just keep your mouth shut and not be so honest. I don't know.
No.
Ha, ha, ha.
You should be that fucking honest.
Yeah. I mean, I would have worded the I want to appear to be single better, because if the person's not in the entertainment business, they're never going to understand the strategy behind that. But I do agree with you, and unfortunately we live in a world where people who appear to be single get more opportunities because people want to get fucked.
They do.
I honestly don't remember his reaction right then, but over the course of our relationship this definitely came up. I posted him on my story occasionally, and I told him I wanted everyone in our life to know we are dating, and brought him around to everything. I was proud to be with him and wanted my actual friends and family to know I loved this man.
That's nice.
But in a lot of arguments, he was pretty jealous, and he would continually bring this Insta story point up about how I wanted to seem single as a musician, which is fair. I did. A lot of arguments were around accusations that I wanted to sleep with other people, controlling what I wear, controlling what I do as an artist.
Oh, no.
Getting to that cute, possessive, emotionally abusive place.
That ain't cute.
I think she was using it ironically.
Okay.
I hope
so.
I think a lot of these arguments stemmed from, number one, him sucking as a person sometimes.
Yeah, we're all capable of it.
But two, I def hold some guilt for saying the phrase appearing single. See, we're on the same page, girl. And that spurring an entire narrative in his mind about how I want to fuck every man who sees me perform, which is like him missing the point on such a large level, because like you're doing it from an entrepreneurial standpoint, which any fucking business bitch would understand and see.
Any man, if he was performing, would also get that too.
He's so short-sighted. Men literally think that we are so much more interested in fucking them than we actually are.
I know.
We don't want to fuck you that much.
Yeah, because you don't even try hard.
We want other things. We
right.
want success. And yeah, we want money. We don't want yours.
We want to make an impact on the world.
Don't have any.
And if you do, call us. God.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ.
This far into the game, and I don't know a friend with a pool. And I would say I don't know one with a boat, but John Campanelli's dad does have a boat, yeah. And he lets us sit on it when it's docked.
Living the dream. Chad, I made that up, so you can't.
Okay. We've broken up, but I went back to the writer.
Right.
We've broken up, but I'm wondering how to navigate things like this as an artist in new relationships.
Okay.
How do I more gently let someone know they aren't going to be a big part of my online presence. Is that even fair to do? Do yes. I just lie and say it's not about me appearing single, even though it kind of is? Like, men can be stupid, and a stream is a stream. And if you buy my merchandise because you think you can sleep with me, then that's on you. And I'm trying to run a business where being sexy is in the brand mm-hmm. and singing about sex is part of it. Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to clarify. I am not on stage saying you can fuck me if you buy my merch or anything like that.
Well, yeah, but it's part of the business strategy.
We get it. I guess, am I a bitch for telling my ex he won't be on my Insta story because appearing single is good for business?
No.
And do you think saying this to him is a reason that he became super jealous and possessive?
No, he was insecure.
Yeah, but...
And he took it the wrong way.
Yeah, you saying it just revealed his insecurity faster. I, with a therapist, have come to the realization that he was emotionally abusive. I mean, I think it seems like everyone's coming to that realization with their therapist.
Being jealous doesn't mean emotionally abusive necessarily. He was trying to control you, but you didn't let it happen.
Guys, as I've said on the podcast many times before... every relationship, in my opinion, is emotionally abusive and not healthy. But I am always, I really feel this way. But I am always having these thoughts of, if I never said that one comment, could things have ended differently? And it's actually my fault he was jealous.
No. It's his fucking fault.
Thanks for all you do. A very loyal fucker for life. Okay.
Girl.
Okay, sorry. Mike is raising his hand from the booth.
I just want to add. All right, so like, because I was mentioned specifically in this email.
We get it.
I want to
bring up why. So she's in the right to do what she did, and it's different because
there was no performer.
Right, and exactly right. So when I was going through that with my ex, there was no. I had the same talk with her.
Right.
But there was no talk about...
a business strategy of any kind.
Exactly. Because
there was no business that needed to benefit from one of you appearing single.
100%. And there was no artistic endeavor. There was no reason for me to not be on the feed.
Because
she was just a public person and public people. And she was very invested in Instagram as like a way to pass her time. So it was like an extension
of her.
So
she's not a public person.
Not a public person. Yeah.
Right.
Or
okay.
a private person or normal person.
Yeah.
I mean.
She's a regular normie. She's a normie.
So what I wanted to bring up, though, was at this time when we were having these conversations, she cited Corinne as an example. Do you remember when you used to post the ass shots, Corinne?
Yes.
Okay. So that came up because
somehow I always get dragged into things when I don't want to.
This was so
get
I
your
used
booties
you as,
out. I mean,
you were the example because she said, "Well, like Corinne has a boyfriend and she's posting pictures like that. Is that a
to
like,
James's credit? He would take them sometimes."
Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
I don't want to always say bad things about him. He had a lot of very good qualities.
So I said Corinne does that because it's part of like Corinne's persona.
Right.
That's part of like the
she
guys
wasn't trying
we
to
fuck thing.
She wasn't trying to appear single, though.
She also never
she was
hit,
just like,
right.
Here's my nice ass.
No,
right,
it was just a joke because there was a while when we made so many jokes about me having a fat ass on the podcast and we weren't videotaping it. So then I was like, oh, let me post this online.
Right. So you're a public person.
Yeah.
And you have your Instagram handle is an important aspect of what you do professionally.
Part of your business.
Sure.
Yeah, 100%. So that was why when that argument got brought into our relationship, I
you're
was
like, this
you're
irrelevant.
Not doing that.
Yeah.
Like, Corinne's doing that, so it's different. Like, if she and James
she wanted
this,
to post an ass shot.
No, she just was like, it was basically like the conversation was really about just like posting content specifically on Instagram. And
right,
I was like,
but
you
she's
are
not in
me.
The entertainment industry.
Right.
No one gives a fuck about you except some guy trying to fuck you
right.
in,
so
in she, that aspect.
She would like, post like a picture of her in a bikini or something like that. So
okay,
it's not like
but
an
trying
shot,
to stop
but,
her of doing
yeah,
that because then I would yeah, but then I would agree with her.
Well, I wouldn't. It's not that I was trying to stop her from doing that. My problem was that she was doing it and there was no sign of me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was
and
kind
there was
of
a sign
like,
of you on of her on yours.
Yeah, 100%. I would post pictures of us all the time.
Yeah, because I mean I think this is oddly enough in this day and age. I think it's a real conversation that we have to have with our partners. I've had it with every partner that I've had since we've had this show. It was actually a large discussion that James and I had. We had like a full sit-down publicity meeting about mm-hmm. how I would refer to him on the show, which now legally works for me. if I would say his name, if you know all these things, that was all part of the discussion we had, which is why I was very angry at him when things flipped and then he was all of a sudden angry that I was talking about him. And I was like, well, if you agree that I can talk about you on the show, you agreed to me being able to talk about you for the
good
duration of the relationship, which includes the breakup.
Right. 100%.
So sorry. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that it's it, that this is part of it. So, I mean, I totally understand what you're doing. I agree that it is important to no one wants to go and see a, even me as a straight woman, I don't want to go see a hot singer and her boyfriend. It's pictures of people and their boyfriends I find to be so boring.
And also too,
or girlfriends, honestly.
Yeah. And we just, it's just, we share too much now.
Yeah. There's very
like,
few people.
Normal people are oversharing and it's weird.
Yeah.
So I think even if you weren't in the entertainment industry, like, it's just like, you don't even fucking need to know that. Like, and it just, you could say it in a different way, but at the same time, how dope would it be to be with a guy that kind of understood that? You know what I mean? So
yeah.
That's why I'm like, I don't want to tell you to say it in a different way, because you're just saying the truth. And if you say it kindly, it's okay. Like, and if the person has an insecurity, maybe that's a great opportunity for you guys to address it. And so it doesn't spiral out into this like controlling thing.
I think I think you just need to add a little bit more after the part where you say, I need to appear single. You need to say, I need to appear single,
but,
because.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think you just need to clarify, because if you're just saying that out of nowhere,
yeah,
someone not in the industry,
they could add their because,
is not going to understand why. And you say, it's not because I'm trying to fuck other people, but it's because there is, I am using my sexuality as a woman, which is very powerful, as a bargaining chip in this business that is already, you know, kind of patriarchal. And if they can't understand that, I mean, again, like, yeah, Frank and I had a really long conversation about that. And we both agreed that we would both appear, you know, I think it changed when we like got too mushy later on. But like in the beginning, that we would both appear as if we were single, because it was helpful to both of our careers. And neither of us felt weird about that or jealous about that. And we both understood each other. And I mean, I think you just need someone. Being in the entertainment business in general as a woman, you need someone who's really confident, because say you skyrocket to fame, like, you want someone who's going to be happy for you,
mm-hmm,
not disappointed in you, not, mm-hmm, not like, oh, I have to share her with other people now. You want someone who's rooting you on. The same way men constantly seem to be able to find a cheerleader, you also need a cheerleader.
Yeah.
It's part of the deal. It's just part of the deal when you're dating you. This, you know, the writer,
yeah.
It's just part of the deal. Like the fact that she was honest about, I had to pull this out of my ex.
That's annoying.
I had to literally have these conversations and say, this is something that's bothering me, because I feel like I'm hidden, and it's like clear, because you're always in your phone on Instagram. So this, obviously, you're thinking about this. This is something that matters to you. Whereas this is a upfront conversation about her career. I mean, like, I don't think she did anything wrong, and I think she is 100% right to do that moving forward the way she did it. And the last dude was just not the guy, because he was insecure.
What? Maybe you could say, like, I had a previous partner where I had this discussion, and I'm not sure, you know, if I could have said it differently, but he didn't take it well, and so it's something I really want to talk about up front.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so we can nip this in the bud.
Yeah, it's important. I don't think you should lie, or you should make up reasons why. Like, I think you should be very clear about your career, its importance to you, and how the strategy that you have decided on your own that you will be employing, and that are those are the conditions under which that person must enter the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, listen, like, people have agreed to such conditions before and been confident for the start, and then their weakness starts to show over time. You don't have control over that, though. As long as you are upfront about it in the beginning, you can never control how other people will react over time.
Yeah,
or,
and their reactions are telltale signs. Let them show you who they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys, imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Well, Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. What? The best part is Quince items are all priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. And I freaking love that for everybody involved. I love Quince. You can get so many items on there. Their sweaters are so soft. I have this beautiful hunter green purse that I carry around all the time. I always get compliments on it. And I'm like, guys, it's from Quince, okay? It looks really bougie. Oh, I love it so much. Indulge in affordable luxury, guys. Go to quince.com/GWF for free shipping on your order and 365 days returns. That's quince.com, quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/GWF. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? Is it drained? You know, we wake up in the morning, we have a tank of gas, and then the tank gets depleted over the day. And therapy can really help with that, okay? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or your gas tank. I love therapy. I'm a huge advocate for it. Getting stuff off your chest alone is really helpful. But when you're talking to a licensed therapist that can actually give you tips and tricks and homework, it just makes it all the more better. And honestly, your friends will appreciate you not bugging them all the time. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief survey and get matched with a licensed therapist. And you could switch therapists every time, because therapy, finding a therapist, it's like dating. They're not all going to work out. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/guys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/guys. And come see us live, Atlanta, Georgia, September 10th, which is a Saturday at 7 p.m. Corinne and I are co-headlining the Center Stage Theater. Get tickets now. We want to sell that out because we would love to do a big theater tour, and this is one of our test dates. So let's go, ATL.
Yeah, and heads up, you pick your own seats. So, like, if this is not general admission. Like, the sooner you buy your tickets, the closer you are to the stage. You get a better opportunity that you're going to come on stage,
yep.
That will see you, that will pick you, a lot of fun things. And then also, I'm doing a couple solo dates to warm up for the theaters, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Long time we needed this to happen. So finally on Saturday, July 30th, I will be headlining Bottle Rocket Social Hall, again, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and then Cleveland, Ohio. I will be doing 4 shows at Hilarities Friday, August 26th and 27th. I'll be there with my girl, Wendy Steiner. And of course, you can listen to me and Shane Smith roast and dissect the news every Saturday on Without a Country, which is available on YouTube.
Yay. And then if you are listening to this on Luminary, today is the last day for me to raise money for my short film. It's thetowerfilm.com. We're trying to raise 40 grand. If we don't raise 40 grand, we don't get any of the money we raised. So if you have money to donate, thetowerfilm.com is where you will go to the Kickstarter campaign. We have a lot of perks, including you can't watch the film unless you contribute. And then you have access to Kevin McAllister Hutchinson's private Instagram account that I've been running for a few years now. And yeah, a lot of cool perks. So if you have the money, thetowerfilm.com, go over and donate. And make sure to rate and review and follow Guys We Fucked on Apple Podcasts. That bumps us up in the comedy charts, keeps us in the top 200 so that people can keep discovering the beautiful goodness that is Guys We Fucked.
And of course, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube and our TikTok. It's youtube.com/guyswefucked without the U in fucked, and then Guys We Fucked without the U in fucked on TikTok. Lots of great stuff there. Oh, okay. You have something to talk about from your book?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to share pieces of information that I'm getting about. This is the book Woman Code: Perfect Your Cycle, Amplify Your Fertility, Supercharge Your Sex Drive, and Become a Power Source. All of us listening to this episode have one thing in common, and that's we came out of a woman's body. And so I feel like it behooves us to understand what the fuck is going on inside of our bodies. And so I just wanted to read some excerpts from chapter 2 of this book. And it's just, these are just stats that I think are good to know. And if you're a straight guy listening to this, or a bisexual guy, a guy who sleeps with women, you know, on a first date, if a woman finds out you know this information, that's a turn on, okay? Even if you pretend to give a shit, you don't actually give a shit, we'll still be aroused by it, okay?
Mike's eyes just lit up.
I'm taking notes.
Well, thank you. New research from the National Institutes of Health confirmed that women's menstrual health acts as a gauge of her vitality and overall health throughout her life. It's no surprise, then, that some of my patients with chronic symptoms were well on their way to obesity, diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, infertility, premature aging, and gallbladder disease when they first walked through my door. If this latest data holds fast, it further affirms why we need to try our best to be vigilant about healing our bodies, especially considering how many lady parts are in trouble. And so here are some stats that I found alarming but important. Over 20 million women suffer from polycystic ovary syndrome, fibroids, endometriosis, painful, difficult, heavy periods, and thyroid and adrenal issues. I didn't know this, but your period's not supposed to be heavy and difficult. I was just used to it, so I figured that's what I got. And That's not the case, guys. More specifically, 1 in 9 women suffers from PCOS. Fibroids occur in 3 out of every 10 women over the age of 35, though women in their 20s can have them too. About 1 in 10, or over 8 million women in the U.S., have endometriosis, 176 million globally. Again, these are all preventable problems. 13 million Americans have underactive thyroid function, only half of women who have been correctly diagnosed. Women are 5 times more likely than men to be diagnosed with hyperthyroidism. 1 in 8 couples is infertile. Fibrocystic breasts affect 20 to 40% of menstruating women. What's fucking crazy. An estimated 7 million women meet the diagnostic criteria for clinical depression. I mean, that's, I blame that on men, but I guess it's other faults too. Every 10 minutes, 12 hysterectomies are performed in the United States. That's 600,000 every year. Crazy? Yes. This assumption that most women don't know about or talk about this stuff? Scary. The fact that there are no natural solutions in place to help us recover? Unacceptable. That's the very reason why I earlier referred to these hormonal issues as castaway conditions. Mm. There's only so much that Western medicine has to offer besides extreme interventions such as surgery when in great distress. When your situation is less extreme, you might find yourself leaving visit after visit feeling hopeless and discouraged. But with each with all of these advances in functional medicine today, there's so much each of us can be doing that we no longer need to feel cast away. And that's all I'm going to read today. But this book, Dr. Alyssa Vitti is the founder of this thing called Flow Living. It's her business. But if you buy this book, I really highly recommend it because it gives you a lot of information on how to basically treat your body like a science experiment. And I have found my skin has not broken out since I've figured out this diet thing. And it is like, it is so much less severe. And it is really cool to see. It's like when you were a kid and you took a seed home in a bag with a wet paper towel and then you watched it grow. Mm. Like, that's what I'm doing, but with my face.
What did you change?
So I drink water. I drink 8 ounces of water immediately upon waking.
Right.
I have hardly any processed foods. Mm-hmm. Really, I used to eat like a lot of waffles. My night eating has stopped. And I don't eat past 8 p.m. I do sometimes get up in the middle of the night and eat, but I only have healthy stuff in my house now. So
that's so early for someone who does comedy, though, to stop eating at 8.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I can't, but I do what I can. But I've made a lot of drastic changes, and I cook every single meal now instead of ordering.
Yeah.
I mean, because it saves so much money.
Yeah.
Delivery in New York is so abusive. But yeah. So this book is like having like a personal session with her, and it's really been beneficial. So I highly recommend it if you're having any of the symptoms that I just described in that excerpt.
And then staying on the pathway of good news for women, I was just scrolling through Instagram when I was like doing my shows on Saturday night, and I follow this account called Birth Uprising. I don't even know why. I have no interest in giving birth. I just like women's issues. And it said, did you know pelvic exams are performed on anesthetized unconsenting women every day, and it's legal? In order for medical students to gain experience performing vaginal exams, they are told to perform them on women while they are under anesthesia.
What?
For surgeries or invasive procedures.
Yes.
The surgeries these women are often having have nothing to do with their reproductive organs. They could be having an unrelated stomach surgery and still be given a pelvic exam. In many states, there is not a specific law requiring consent be obtained prior to these exams. The following slides are screenshots of an article covering the commonality of this practice. And so, you know, if you want to go to Birth Uprising, you can look at that article.
That's really bad.
But I was like, I just need to make sure this was true. So I basically posted it on my Instagram story, and I was like, I'm just putting this here so I don't forget, but I have to look into it myself. But it's 100% true.
Oh my God.
And I found some articles. There's a New York Times article from maybe like 2020 or 2019 that you can read about it, about a woman who got a pelvic exam. You know, it's basically medical rape, as my friend
DM'd
me. I was
going to say, that's rape. You're putting tools or your fingers inside of a woman's vagina?
Yeah. And
she's under anesthesia. Oh, wow. That's bad.
Yeah. In 2019, there was only 1, 2, 3, 4.
How do you live with your...
There was only 5 states that even had six, because Hawaii. There was only 6 states that had banned unauthorized pelvic exams as of January 2019.
Oh my God.
It's changed a little bit as of May 19th, 2022. There is a map of places that there was at least some legislation introduced, or you know, something like that. But there's still a ton of states where this is absolutely
How do you know if you got a pelvic? You don't know.
Legal. I think I don't know what you can do to regulate, but it's just something to be aware of. And something that if you want to contact your local representative, it's a, I think it's an important bill to be introduced.
Yeah.
But I mean, listen, I know week after week, it's just another thing to add to women's stress and the things that we need to do to protect ourselves.
Uh-huh.
But
it just keeps getting longer.
You know, this is like one of those things where it's like shocking that this is not talked about every fucking day, but it is absolutely true. And there are a ton of states that have absolutely no legislation about that.
That is wild that a group of medical professionals could fucking live with themselves after giving a passed out woman a pelvic exam.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it just goes along with society using our bodies as mere vessels and not actually governing us like we are adult people who can think for ourselves.
That would be nice. Can you imagine that?
But you know what's great and not shitty and fucked up? Our guest. We had a great conversation with this person. That was a weird noise, Mike. Okay.
I'm wanting to have her on for so long. I think she's so fucking rad. She's a former porn star. She's a current DJ. She was recently on the road with Burt Kreischer in his Fully Loaded tour, spinning on that stadium tour. So excited to have her on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm welcome to Carter Cruz.
Stay. If you wanna go, all I can say is I already know. 'Cause when people show who they really are, you should believe them from the start. And sure, in the past, I've aimed to please, depending too much on what they thought of me. But what you think can't change who I am. I'm claiming my own uncharted land. Take no shit. That's how to live. Do no harm.
Welcome. We are here with Carter Cruz. So excited to have you on.
So
this
excited
is your
to be
shirt
here.
And I fucking love it.
I'm so excited that you're wearing it.
Yeah, it says Dirt Bag. I love merch that's like unique and not just a shirt, like a t-shirt, you know, with like my joke on it. But one of the things, so Corinne and I were talking about how we get like criticized like every fucking little thing we do, and it's really annoying. But you are not in porn anymore. Right?
No.
How long ago
did you get
out?
A quick search for research.
I thought you
research.
Said you're not important anymore.
No! Oh my God.
I was like, yeah, I mean,
don't
probably
give
not.
Shit about you, right? Wow. My life on the D-list. Wow, okay. Like I got to talk slower.
That's some deep, like, you know, some insecurities coming out right there.
That's so
you're
funny.
Not important anymore.
Slip.
It does sound very similar, though. You're not, like, it does sound similar. But you left porn how long ago?
It's been about 6 years, I guess.
6 years. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you or do you get criticized for how you fuck
in porn or like in real life?
I mean either is interesting.
Both. Yeah.
In real
now
life
I want to know both.
In real life would be quite rude.
Yeah. That would be really rude.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, good. That's good. Because I swear to God,
that's one
someone...
thing I think I feel pretty good about. Like I have a dom pot.
I was listening to an interview that you did. I forget what podcast is on, otherwise I would shout him out. It was a good interview. About you doing research before you got into porn.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying that these porn stars had like lives that you like really liked. You mentioned Sasha Grey. Like what about their lifestyle? I love Sasha Grey. What about the lifestyle or about it was enticing to you and did it meet your expectations?
I think it's about like freedom. That's always been kind of like the thing that I really like aspire to have. And, you know, growing up, I was a really competitive dancer from a young age. And, you know, I was kind of the golden child. My sister was the rebellious one, which is kind of funny because I was actually the bad kid, but like, you know, I was the one who said, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Yes, I'll clean my room because I wanted to go out with my friends. My sister doesn't give a shit. So she's like, yeah, fuck you, mom. Like, I'm not cleaning my room. I don't need to go out to the party. But I'm like, if I don't go to this party, like, my life is over.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I would clean my room. So, you know, I was kind of always this golden child. And so there was, you know, this freedom that came with, wow, I can never do anything that everyone expected me to do anymore.
That sounds incredible. You're free.
Right. It's terrifying, but at the same time, so I guess it did meet my expectations. Uh-huh. I mean, even the other night, we were at a performing at, I'm on the Bert Kreischer tour, and we were in Dayton, and I actually wasn't allowed to perform. The venue had a little meeting about me.
Are you serious?
Let's go. Let's go. What happened?
I wish I could have been a fly on the wall.
Me too.
Bird's team was so apologetic. They sent the nicest email saying, you know, we're still going to pay you. Like, we are so sorry this happened.
And what the fuck?
Bert said, listen, Carter, I love you. I will always have your back. Just not when it cost me $500,000.
Yeah.
So there is a price tag on it. I'm like, that's fair. Right. That's fair. Like,
what did they say?
I just thought I wasn't family friendly, which is hilarious because you've heard any of those comedians. Like, I'm the most family friendly actor.
Well, I was like, are you doing something different? I was like, are you sticking a bottle up your ass on stage?
No.
Like, what is
this? I'm literally just DJing.
You're playing music.
And going like, let's have a good time tonight, guys.
It was just an excuse to have someone who was in the adult entertainment industry not perform.
Right.
Of course. Wow. Well, because I was going to say,
when
I heard you talk about that in the interview of like the lifestyle, I'm like, man, everything I know from like Stoya and stuff and just like the darker side of porn of like getting your fucking bank account shut down and just getting like shit on by society, like guys wanting to fuck you or masturbate to you and then going, you can't perform in my Ohio stadium. Fuck you. And you're like, that's what that is.
You seem to be like taking it okay, because I'm like, I feel like I would be pissed, but maybe it's just not worth your energy anymore. Or
I started, like, my manager called me and told me, and I started cracking up laughing.
Right. Okay.
And then he read me the email from Bert's team, which was so nice.
Yeah.
And they were like, this is terrible. Like, we support you. This doesn't reflect any of our views. Like, very, very welcoming. And I was like, hey, it's cool. You know, it's happened before.
Mm, really?
I think everyone else on the tour was way more upset about it than I was. Like, they're all like, this is bullshit.
Because they know that they're filthier than you. Like, they are human beings.
And they've never had to live with it. It's like when you've been, you know, kind of living with that stigma for like 10 years, you're like roll with the punches. And the fact that, you know, you have a group of people that are supporting you and saying, we don't agree with this.
Yeah.
But I guess the point of that is that having those things taken away from you, like, there are places that I could never perform no matter what I do. It's been 6-7 years since I did, you know, porn. All mm-hmm. I'm doing is playing music.
Yeah.
And yet it's like, once a whore, always a whore.
Right.
And so yep. while that's a terrifying thing, there is this kind of sense of freedom in it where, like, you never have to live up to anyone's expectations because you just took the bar from here and you put it down here. And now everything I do is like, my parents are like, oh, thank God. Like, you know, she's not on drugs. It's just fantastic.
You know what? I do think about that a lot. I was like, I should have been a lot worse of a kid, and then everyone's expectations would be so much lower.
Right. Yeah,
that's
never like thought about
a
that
really
way.
Smart tactic.
It's like just when you get naked.
Yeah, that's like, it's like when you work at a job, you should be the worst employee ever, because then everyone will just be like, oh, just give them an easy
no
job.
No expectations.
Yeah, just make them file something.
Yeah,
no that's stress. So smart. You're a genius.
Was there a reaction from your parents when, like, there was this kind of, I guess, role reversal? You could say if your sister was like the fuck you, mom and dad, and you were like, okay, sorry, mom and dad. Like, when, like, did you have to tell them you were going into porn?
I did, and they actually told me, don't tell your sister.
Because she's going to do it?
Because she's going to be pissed. Because me and my sister, you know, growing up, there was a lot of animosity. Because, you know, I was, you know, the older kid, I was, like, very outgoing. She was much more just introverted, and she's not really like that. We're talking about like kid stuff, you know? She wanted to be on the computer. She's a big reader, not like, didn't have a lot of friends, wasn't super into any activities. She didn't like any kind of team stuff, you know. She's very
really, I like
my
her
sister
bedroom.
Is amazing. She's an amazing woman, but
I like that you said she doesn't like any activities.
Yeah,
that's possibly my best and favorite explanation of a person ever.
My parents put her in dance with me, and there she would bring Barbies like in her leotard.
Oh.
And then she would go in the bathroom and like play with dolls.
That's like, fun. Like, fuck this,
like, we know what you're doing, like, in there.
Right. That sounds great.
But it was actually made our, so, you know, my parents were like, don't tell her, like, she's gonna be so mad, because she's just gonna be like, we've always just had, you know, gotten along well as long as it's for like 12 hours. Once we get past that, yeah, it turns into.
Sure.
But I think so. I finally had to tell her because she's hitting me up like, oh, what are you doing in Florida? You know? And I was like, I'm just going to tell her. We were having a good sister moment. And I'm like, let me. And she was like, that is so cool. She actually respected it a lot. And I think it made our relationship better.
Oh, great.
Because then she really did get to become like, she's married now. Nice. You know, like she's like, nice. She's like a real person.
She's done it.
Yeah. I don't know if she's going to have kids. So I don't know if she's fully fulfilling my parents. Like, you know, right, like need for that, but yeah, she's definitely, she gets to be the good kid now, and I get to be like, you know, the kind of the black sheep of the family. And I think that's kind of what I always wanted to be, and that's what she always was, and she didn't want to be that. And
perfect.
It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of,
you traded platters. You're yeah, like, here you go, you take this hat, I'm gonna take this hat. Yeah, that's like, really cool.
She like lived, my parents went and like lived near her like in college before they moved to Costa Rica. And they were like, oh, we're just going to, we have a year, we sold the house, we're not ready to move out of the country yet. You know, so they wanted to come live where she was in college, and they lived down the street from her, and she loved that.
Wow.
She would go over there every day, you know, wow, and I love my parents. They are wonderful human beings. I wow, love them so much. But let me tell you, I did not want my parents no, living down the street from me in college.
Yeah. Yeah, I would fucking hate that. Well, I don't.
That's
yeah,
crazy.
Your parents sound like they have a really good relationship, and they're like, don't overreact, and they're like in control of their emotions and stuff.
Yeah, they're chill.
Wow.
They're very chill.
Like, what does wow, the conversation awesome, look like when you tell your parents you're doing porn? Because most people can't even like have a sex conversation with their parents.
I didn't have a sex conversation. I didn't tell my parents. I didn't tell my mom about this. She found out about the Guys We Fuck podcast, and she was like, I have never in my life.
You I'm didn't
like,
tell your mom about the podcast?
No, because I was scared of her reaction.
My mom listens,
I was being
but, yeah,
a bitch. But yeah.
Well, I guess I just, my agent, my first agent in the business was like, you're going to have to tell your parents. Like, yeah, they're going mm, to find out. So it's just whether you want it to come from you or someone else.
Or like a family friend.
Which was, yeah, I really respect that he like, I mean, I was planning to anyway. I mean, I knew yeah, it wasn't going to be a secret, but.
How'd you say it? Like, what'd you say?
Well, I called them because, you know, I was in college at the time and it's like, hey, I got to talk to you guys about something. I kind of said like, you know, because my whole plan was always go to law school. And I was like, well, if this doesn't work out,
that,
I could work mm, in law in the adult business.
Because,
you know, and like no one will be like stigmatizing there. So
yeah,
I'm like,
you pass the bar. No one gives a shit.
Right,
yeah,
right. Exactly. So I was like, you know, there's like, I was like, let me just, I need to do this, you know?
Yeah.
But my dad's first thing was, you know, because it was a little conference call with my parents. My dad's like, oh, well, like, you know, does this mean like, you know, you're gonna start doing drugs? I'm like, Dad, I've been doing drugs.
That's what you're worried about, Dad?
No, that was literally the first thing that came into his head. It's like, my dad's like, he's kind of a super smart, like, computer guy. Very big feminist. Always
oh,
raised us,
fun,
you know, you can do anything a man can do. You know, you don't need. So, you know, he has a... He's a pretty good outlook on that
wow,
stuff.
Wow. Wow. So your like spirit was nurtured by your parents.
Yeah, I think so.
And your individuality was encouraged.
Yes.
And whatever
very
you
much,
wanted to do, they were like, okay, just be safe or whatever.
Except for learning how to drum. My dad, my parents nixed that one. That was the only thing.
Was that because you had like, they saw like no musical talent in you? Or
no,
were
no,
you
bad every at other it? Instrument. Like I took so many
oh,
instruments.
They just didn't want to listen to that.
Yeah, my mom
oh,
didn't want to hear the drums.
That's fair. Yeah,
and
yeah,
I think
yeah,
this was before. Now they got those like the quiet
fuck,
ones.
Yeah. Okay, that's a lot. Listening to a kid practice an instrument as someone who practiced the violin poorly a lot, it's rough.
It is really rough.
That's they don't deserve that if they treat you nicely.
No. I don't blame them for it yeah, at all. I'm like, okay, that was the one thing they said. No drums.
That's so funny.
That's so funny.
We'd actually rather have you raw dog a colleague. Yes. So.
Well, I love to blame them. You know, I love to give them shit and say, yeah, oh, I turned out the way I did because of you guys. Just, you know, I wanted to major in acting in college, right?
Yeah.
And my dad was like, you know, they were super supportive of everything growing up. And then, you know, I feel like when I got to college, my dad's like, okay, you know, I feel like I've supported everything you've wanted to do. It's kind of time to think about real shit, you know, like get a real job and like major in business. And so I always like love to tell him, I'm like, Dad, if you just let me major in acting, like I wouldn't have had to do porn, but I just.
Sorry you made me a ho, Dad.
I blame them for all types of shit, but not really.
Just, yeah. You have a fun relationship with your parents, yeah, sounds.
How do you get a porn agent? Like, what's the process like? Because I only know stuff like getting a porn agent from like weird HBO documentaries where you go into a bed and fuck the director. But I wanted to know if that was really, I mean, I'm sure someone's done that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like the casting couch stuff?
Yeah. I mean, it was like literal bed and everyone was in there.
It wasn't a futon.
Yeah, and I was like watching and I was like, what is this? You know, because I mean, I'm sure I was like between 12 and 16 watching this. But, you know, when your parents have HBO growing up, the world is your oyster. Yeah, so, yeah. So what was the process like getting an agent and like, did any weird shit go down?
Well, actually, I just kind of searched it, you know, I just looked
at Googled it.
Googled it. Yeah. This amazing tool that, you know, some people don't know how to use, but people always actually wrote this article like years ago. Cause I was just getting messages every day from guys going, how do you get into porn? How do you get into porn? And I was so annoyed with getting this question. Yeah. Wow. That I just wrote a blog. And so anytime anyone would ask me the question, I just send them the link.
Yeah.
And it's a very like, just kind of asshole-y thing, but it's like, okay, first of all, like just figure it out. Out,
yeah, there, so there was like, no like, it, yeah, there was no weird process, no like fucking any.
You have to
dudes.
Fuck your agent.
Yeah, no,
nice.
God, no,
that's
God,
great.
No,
that's
no,
yeah, that's a yeah, that's a red flag.
I'm sure that's like happened. Actually, there was like a guy down in Florida that was repping a bunch of girls. I don't know if you guys know the was that Hot Girls Wanted?
Yeah.
The agent in that. So I was actually, me and my friend were supposed to be the stars of that.
Oh, shit.
And then they decided, I'll tell you why, because they decided we'd been in the business too long, which meant that we were already on a successful trajectory.
Oh, so they wanted
somebody.
And they
did not want that.
That was not the story they wanted to tell.
They wanted to, hope I make it one day.
If they had made it about us, it would have been such a different documentary. But
yeah, everyone would have wanted to get into porn.
Yeah, that's wow. They wanted to basically, I'm still really good friends with one of the girls that was, because we used to come out to LA together and stay in hotels, and she's out of the business now, but you know, that documentary like really fucked her up because
really right, being a part of it did
right. Well, okay. You know, they kind of used, you know, she was super young, she was 18 years old,
yeah,
came straight from like farmland USA. And, you know, they put her, and I don't want to tell her story too much because I think that, honestly, you guys should have her on. She
yeah.
would be
I think I know who you're
fantastic.
Talking about because like, I followed a lot of the women from that documentary after I watched it. Yeah.
Yeah. They basically, you know, just kind of used her to make this whole industry look bad. And while she did have bad experiences in the industry, you know, I don't know if it was also compounded by this documentary.
Sure.
Yeah, which then, right. Which then everyone in the industry watches and they're like, oh, this is, and then she was kind of in this bad situation where they said, well, you know, you come on the tour with us and promote the documentary and kind of like buy into this thing that we're trying to sell, this narrative that we're trying to sell.
Be an injured fawn in front of everybody.
We'll pay
for
your school to go to photography school and all this stuff. And none of that really ever materialized. So she was really used twice over.
The documentarian set out to prove that she was getting used in porn while using her to prove their angle in the documentary.
It's some real
A woman made that, right?
It was Rashida Jones.
Yeah. What the fuck, Rashida?
She hates porn.
Well, that was one of the questions I had for you today was about it's very common for especially women who aren't involved in the industry at all to advocate against it. And that's something that we've definitely spent a long time thinking about, because it's hard for me to speak with intelligence about something, an industry that I'm not a part of. So that's why we have people who are come on and tell their own stories. And some have had positive experiences and some have had negative experiences. But like, yeah, what's your thoughts on people advocating so heavily against it who have never been involved in it?
Well, I think that it's very dangerous because you're speaking for people that, you know, you have no shared experiences with.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Even people who, you know, and I've spoken pretty openly about this, like with Mia Khalifa, someone who was in the industry and speaks out against it very openly. But the problem I have with that is like, you're allowed to tell your truth.
Yeah.
But when you are basically put into a spotlight, when you go, porn fucked me up, mainstream loves that. They love that story.
Because that's what they
and
want.
And so they're going to bring that in. And it really helps people succeed by turning their back and going like, this is a bad industry. I was treated badly. This is terrible. This is all bad. But they're not realizing that the only reason their story is being amplified over all the people who enjoyed their experiences is because it fits into this stigmatizing, like, you know, narrative that we have.
Yeah. So, everybody's got an angle, and it's like, right. I don't want to hear your story unless it fits with my angle. And it's like, that's something that America specifically needs to fucking get over.
Yeah.
Like, people have good and bad experiences in every single industry, and they right. both need to be talked about. My God. How was your experience in porn overall?
Good. I mean, I had a, you know, I had a one really bad situation when I was a contract girl.
Do you mind talking about it?
Oh yeah, I can talk about it. I mean, I've like technically like signed a like NDA, but like fuck it.
Sorry, Chad. I know Chad might access, but we'll see.
We just won't say anyone's name.
Okay.
And
yeah,
also
just say
too,
allegedly
I
a bunch of times.
I also don't think that now California's not really upholding that stuff anymore.
Good, because NDAs are kind of fucked.
Well, if they make you sign an NDA that says, "Hey, we'll pay you the money we owe you, but only if you promise not to tell people how bad we treated sure. you and that we didn't pay you for 3 years." I don't think that since the Weinstein stuff, it doesn't really go over well. So, you know, you did get it's yeah. not
there's a lot of problems with like sexual assault and like just mistreatment in general of women and NDAs and right. people, but you know, we concentrate on women on this show.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And in every industry, but I just had one. I was a contract girl for a year. It was one of my last years in porn. I really thought it was gonna be my last year, but I ended up shooting for another year after because I never got paid. You know, and I basically I couldn't work for anybody else.
So when you say contract girl,
I spent every dime that I'd saved in the business just trying to live and pay my bills. So when that was, you know, over, I was like, well, I guess I got to start shooting hardcore again because like I don't have any money.
Get your ass already. Ugh, yeah. So annoying.
I was like very over it by then too. So it was like, oh man.
How do you get wet for that? Like you really got to be good at compartmentalizing, right?
Yes. I am very good at compartmentalizing.
Hard to fuck when you have senioritis. Yeah.
Thanks,
Yeah, no, I think that's a big part of the adult industry, or really like honestly even performing. I mean, you guys are comedians, it's the same thing. And it's been interesting being on this tour and like hearing the guys talk about, you know, the things they deal with. And I feel like comedians, porn stars, DJs, those three very different industries have so much overlap in a lot of ways.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. We're all little misfit toys.
Yeah. And like the long travel, like being alone, kind of feeling like by yourself, like doing these like, you know, tours where you're staying in a hotel room night after night, you get these big laughs and then you go back to your hotel room and like, you just sit alone.
Guess I'll have his Snickers in bed.
High highs and low lows.
I'm like, how do you go to sleep after that? Everyone was just cheering for me. Yeah. God damn.
Yeah, I usually don't go to sleep after that.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to.
That's what weed's for.
Yeah.
So wait, before you tell us, can you explain when you say specify contract girl, what's the, as opposed to what, like for people who aren't familiar?
Well, back in the day, you know, contract girls used to be like the big thing, like Vivid Girls, Digital Playground. And that's like when you only had to shoot like one movie a month and you got paid really well because you're only with that company.
Oh, right. Okay.
But
exclusivity.
But now, you know, there's very few of that because there's so much content. It's more about the more you do, the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So people aren't really doing contracts anymore, but it was perfect for me because it was right when I was trying to transition into, you know, DJing.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm starting to have gigs. So I didn't want to be working all the time. I wanted to have time off. To, you know, work on make mixes, work on music, do all this
get
stuff.
Gear, learn the gear, all that shit.
Right.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, signing this contract would be, you know, an amazing thing because I only had to shoot 2 days a month.
Oh, wow.
But it was,
nice.
Would basically cover all my bills. It wasn't a ton of money, but, you know, I was like, I can live comfortably off this. And then I have, that's 2 days a month. The rest of the time, I can fully focus on this new career. And unfortunately, that's not what ended up happening because I never got the money. So, you know, I was just like constantly just like freaking out and not being able to actually focus on pursuing something else,
right,
you know,
right,
or at least not
clouded.
100%.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was your agent, I mean, and because usually like with business stuff, like that's where the agent like fucking knocks down that guy's door. But was he not able to get?
I think he knew I was on my way out and this person that I was contracted with is very, very big name in the industry. Like, I mean, if you do a scene for him, like you get nominated for an award, you know? So he is big and winning a lot of awards with big companies and has a very strong fan base. So I think, you know, unfortunately with my agent, and this was, you know, he was always good to me besides this. And I will say I didn't really tell him what was going on until it got really bad.
Okay.
You know, because I was kind of doing my own thing at this point. I didn't really need him since I was contracted. So we weren't really communicating. And, you know, I kind of like, I can put up with a lot. I have a very high tolerance.
Yeah, your threshold's pretty good. Yeah.
So I can go a really long time, but then once you cross it, it's like, oh, no, like we're done.
Yeah.
And so I kind of went to him at that point. But by then it had escalated so far that he was like, you know, you should have come to me 3 months ago and we could have worked this out. But I think at this point he was realizing that if he like went to bat for me with this guy that would ruin his relationship,
hurt his other clients,
and that I wasn't really going to be making him that much more money for very long.
Yeah,
and honestly,
business decision
is business. And I, so, you know, did I feel somewhat hurt by that and a little bit betrayed? But at the same time, I also can understand it.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, you know, it was not getting paid, but it wasn't like, honestly, this guy, like, I really liked him. He's kind of a dick. Everyone thinks he's a dick in the whole industry. Everyone hates him. I actually kind of thought he was hilarious.
Sometimes I like people that everyone hates because I'm like, ah, he just hates himself. It's fine.
Right. You know, he's funny as shit. Like, I don't know, but he's definitely a very, like, sadistic person. Like, he loves to just put people into, like, the worst situations and just see what they can basically handle, you know? Like, he likes to
That's not good when you're directing porn.
23-hour days, I think, you know? Like, that was
so he loves cocaine, huh?
Yeah, I know. Actually, no, you know, because he goes and he just is chilling. He's not interested in the sex at all. His movies are much more about the story and everything. Yeah, it's, so that's why I thought it was going to be cool, you know?
Yeah, because he cared.
But he doesn't give a shit about the porn. He's, like, kind of asexual in that sense. Like, he's, like, so he's not, like, creepy.
I would feel more comfortable with that guy that sense.
But, you know, we'd be like, oh, you're going to do a scene at this, like, gross-ass, like, strip club, and there's, like, nails coming out of the stage, and I'm like, this seems unsafe, you know? Or, like, they were a condom-only company, but they wouldn't get, like, the right size condoms for the guy, and so then there's all these problems, and, you know, so it was just, like, and then these crazy 23-hour days that you're just doing multiple scenes, like, not being fed the whole time.
How do you fuck when you're starving?
I put up with all of it with this. I was like always like smiling on my face, chilling until I didn't get my check.
Yeah.
Then I was like, okay. I feel like I've done way more than
checks. Yeah, because the whole time you're probably like, this is just to pay my bills. Right. And then when your bills don't get paid, you're like, what is this for? Fuck you.
That was where I drew the line. So,
Do you remember the moment porn stopped being fun for you?
I think it was probably like during that so I dated this guy before that contract, kind of a reason why I signed it. An ex, not someone I'm dating now. And he was totally crazy. Actually, it's how I knew about you guys.
Oh,
he's the one who sent me your podcast. Uh-oh. So like the only good thing that came out of that relationship.
That's great.
And he made me get a credit card to build my credit. So
that's good. Two good things.
He's 10 years older. He's like, you don't have credit. I'm like, I'm 22 now.
What credit?
But he was married the whole time we were dating. I didn't know. I didn't know.
Obviously. How'd you find out?
Actually, years after we broke up,
are you serious?
His ex-wife, now ex-wife, DM'd me. I was in Japan, drunk. She's like, I got a DM from it. I thought she was just the crazy ex because he told me they were divorced. So I always hated this woman, right?
Well, I'm she's
like,
crazy because of him.
She's calling him crying all the time. Well, it's because they were going to therapy and he would start a fight with her to go hang out with me. I had no idea.
Oh, what a dick.
Isn't that crazy?
God
so
damn,
I hated
what a dick.
This woman. I was like, this.
Wow.
I was like,
and she was, oh man.
She was being so fucking screwed over. So she messaged me and said, hey, I know about this stuff. You know, we're getting divorced. And I just like, I'm trying to put a timeline for her sanity, I think, to understand like all the things because there was a lot with him.
Yeah.
He had multiple girlfriends. It was
Jesus. He's the Tindler swindler, but for pussy.
Yeah, he was. So, you know, she messaged me and it was really great because she and I got to like kind of this whole talk and she and I, we always support each other now. Yeah.
And you can shit talk.
And the other girlfriend, there was the wife and then the two serious girlfriends and we're all cool now.
Whoa.
Yeah. So,
what was great about him? What did you like about him?
I don't even want to say this because then it's like, I don't want him to hear it.
And then we can talk about all the terrible things. Okay, yeah, I was going to say he must have be good in bed.
But he's a, you know, he's a writer. I think he's really good with words.
Okay,
he's
very,
and
I
was young. I mean, I was 10 years younger than him and, he had, or he seemed like he had money, you know, and he, you know, I mean,
he didn't though.
I found out that he was like spending like his wife's savings and stuff, like buying me first class and buying me Louboutin.
Christ.
I told her, I was like, girl, I never wear those. Like, should we like sell those? Like, you can I think she's doing good. So it's not an issue. But
I hate him.
But yeah. So yeah, he was terrible. But he made me feel very, very bad about doing porn. We met at the height of my career. And I told him on our first date, I was like, hey, like, I don't want a boyfriend. Like, I'm doing a lot of porn, and I'm doing really hardcore stuff.
Doing a lot, too much porn to have a boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How
first
much is too
stuff?
How
I was working almost every
porn?
Day.
Oh shit, yeah, that's, you know, too much porn to have a boyfriend.
I was working almost every day, and you know, I'm doing gangbangs. I'm doing all, and I'm like, I know nice. That this is gonna be a problem.
Yeah.
Like you, and he was like, no, no, I'm
no
cool.
No matter how cool they say.
He said, they no, always I'm say cool. they're cool.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, no, I'm cool. You know, it's like, I think it's so dope. And yeah. seemed like he was really supportive. And I was just like, you know, and I don't know. Yeah, like, I really said day one, I was like, let's just like go on dates and like fuck and like not be yeah. boyfriend or girlfriend. Like, I would have been happy with that.
Yeah.
But he like needed to possess, you know, he's that kind of guy.
Yeah. yeah.
He
possess needed, multiple women.
He wanted me to be his, yeah. you know?
Also, he was projecting. He's just like, I don't want you to do this, in quotes, bad thing. While I'm doing like an actually ethically fucked up thing.
And actually hurting someone yes. in yes. the process.
Multiple people.
Yes. Oh, he would cry to me. He would cry.
That's hey, my porn.
What the
I wouldn't get off his.
Wait, tell us about how he cried. Wait, it's Dude. Good when men cry, but not when they're being manipulative and lying.
Oh, no.
Just
no.
want to say that if you're a man who cries, yay.
Oh, yeah, we love crying. Yeah.
No manipulation.
Like, yes. No, like real tears of like feeling real emotion.
Yeah,
that
being
is
vulnerable.
Like, that is a very like, awesome thing.
Yeah.
But, no, crying because you're going, oh my God, it hurts me so much that like you went to work today and got paid while like he was like in therapy with his wife. Like, I feel like that's not really like.
He's a piece of shit. He's a piece of shit. Wonder what is he doing now? Being a piece of shit, probably. But
dude, honestly, jumping on a bunch of podcasts telling everyone now that he's a expert in. wait, what? Polygamy or not polygamy? What
polyamory? Are you serious?
You know what?
And he said he
we really try to be open minded on this show, but every week something
every
comes
time.
Up that's about polyamory that
and it
really
awful.
Rubs me the wrong
it's
way.
Bad.
The polyamorous community really hates me. There's like a lot of there's a lot of messages.
For, how about
for
take care of your own?
I wrote in our book about it. And so on like these nerdy book review sites, everyone's like, this girl doesn't understand polyamory. I'm like, shut up.
I think, of course.
He is so the opposite of that. How do you like
oh my God.
When a guy, and I guess I've been watching a lot of documentaries about horrible men lately. Horrible
there's
men.
There's been a lot.
That's the summer
women,
vibe.
Yeah. Getting women to wire money. To them, multiple women, like ooh, broke girl summer is what I'm watching unfold. But like, and they're being their fucking tears are being weaponized about like, but I'm hurting while they're actively hurting multiple
right.
people over multiple things, over money, over sex, over making you feel bad about the fucking career that you chose that he
right.
already said he was fine with. Mm. While he's cheating on la 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 la. Like, there's well, are those men just gonna die not getting it? I'm really can't stop thinking about this. Like, what is their fate?
I think they, by the time
probably
they're like 35, yeah.
Again.
Probably getting married to someone who has to listen to this show.
Well, not a dumb bitch. Because the thing is, we say, don't be a dumb bitch, you know, in a loving way, but like, I watched the documentary Bad Vegan on Netflix. Have you guys seen that?
I was emotionally getting myself ready because I heard enough feedback on it. And I was like, I got to take a break after the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial to emotionally recover.
Yeah.
But the very smart, very outgoing, very career oriented, very goal setting and goal getting women, gorgeous, brilliant, bright women are getting manipulated by these fucking fat schmucks.
No, but I think they really like to go for every time I've dated two kind of psycho men.
Mm-hmm.
I generally have very good taste. They're all most of my exes, amazing people, love
That's
them.
That's awesome. That's good.
But I have two, you know, totally crazy people. But they were both every girl that they've been with. I'm friends with all of them. I feel like we all like connected
all
after. Yeah, all the girls.
I like your post relationship support group.
Oh yeah, I know. Really we're nice. Like, yeah, that was because I feel like we need to validate each other and be like, oh yeah, that was. Crazy.
Yeah.
But
it's just like it's saying how much you earn. Like, you know, like he did this to me. Like, oh, that was fucked up. Okay, cool. Like, that's that's important.
And to compare and be like, oh, he said that shit to you too.
Mm,
like, you
yes.
know, you start to see. But I think having, you know, the where was I going with this?
Well, the support group. Sorry, I interrupted.
Bad Vegan. Two boyfriends who were psychopaths.
Oh, you only dated two that sucked. Yeah, and you were friends with all the women.
But all the girls, like all the women. Sorry, I should call them women, not girls. I mean, at one point, we were barely like 18, so I was almost
girls.
But
legally, yeah.
The women, you know, I feel like they love to go for the most strong minded. you know, independent women. And it's always so interesting to me because you think that, like, but they could prey on the dumb bitches all day long, and that would be easy for them. And I think it's like this challenge. And so anytime I've been in a relationship with like one of these guys, like all the women that I end up meeting through them that I've had the same experience are usually like, they're like, I've never let a guy treat me like that before. You know, like, you know, it's like, it's not like they're constantly in this, you know, cycle. It's like this one person. And it's like, I think that they like, it makes, they get off on that. That like, they you're not the girl that's easy to manipulate. And so that's why. And it's more entertaining.
And they zero in and kind of obsess over the girl, which it's like, what, or the woman? Like, but it's like, And that, when faced with that type of attention, you're, you know, you gotta ask, you're like, this is charming. Then it's just obviously because so many women fall for guys that are like, that are like that.
And you usually know deep down too. I think that's the thing. But I'm always like, I mean, like with my ex, like the minute it was more pain than it was fun, I pulled out. I was about to go on, you know, my first like bus tour with like these DJs that I've been friends with, like, or that I've been a fan of for years, you know, and I actually met them through him. So he did kind
of
help.
Stuff came out of it.
Yeah, he did like kind of help me get that, you know, but I was like, we were fighting all the time, you know, and I was like never really seeing him. So we were like, you know, he was in New York a bunch, so I wasn't really ever seeing him. And then I'm about to go on this tour and I'm like,
fuck this.
22, 23. I'm about to do one of the coolest things I've done in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm crying every day because this man is like treating me like shit. And I was like, I'm done. And of course, you know, he pulled the whole like, I can't believe you gave up on us.
Oh, for the love of
God. And I was like, hey, get your shit together. I was like, go to therapy for like 6 months and like call me in 6 months. Like, cause I really thought at that point, like he was just like a broken person. I thought that like he had so many things like going on with him that I felt empathy, but I was like, I can't be in this. This isn't healthy for me. I have to go. But like, you fix yourself. Like, I still love you.
Yeah.
And then after we broke up, that's when I started finding out all the shit, like the marriage stuff, all that. And I was like, oh, okay, no, no, no. Yeah,
those were fake tears.
Therapy ain't going to fix that, baby.
Like, yeah. We should have merch that's a tiny violin to give to men. It's, and it's pink. It's
I love
pink.
That.
It's the world's smallest violin. Oh, my God.
How... do you like I I don't know how to ask this question. Do you know how to orchestrate a gangbang that's not in the porn, in a porn atmosphere?
Oh, you mean like just like a natural,
like,
gangbang?
What if a gal wants a gangbang?
Dude,
sounds
so
fun.
I'm actually the worst person to ask about this. Okay. Because like, so I like, I always want to have threesomes with my boyfriend because like I like girls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's down and he's like cool about it. He's like, you know,
I would imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, obviously down. Yeah. But you know, he's never like, he's like, yeah, you and me. Like, you know, it's like a very cute vibe.
He likes
that
you.
Right. Yeah. He likes me. Yeah. But for me, I'm like, I don't know how to make this like happen. Like, I always panic. Like, I've like,
really?
I've been like,
see,
I've like taking girls home. I'm like, she's, I feel like she's too drunk. Like, I don't want her to wake up in the morning and be like, oh, regret anything. So I'm always like, you know, with a guy, we're like, he's not gonna regret shit. You know, like,
hold a hold of this motherfucker.
But I'm like, when it's me and my guy, like, or if it's just you and a girl, you know, and then I'm like, but if I'm like bringing a girl in with my guy, then I just go like, oh my God, is she good? Like, I just start panicking. Okay. And then you're like, where do you start it? And so with a gangbang, that's way more complicated. Like,
I
don't even know how to start a threesome.
You put your ass in the air and you go, let's go. Got 1 hour.
How do you compile the group of guys?
Yeah, like, how, like, well, you got to cast it. I mean, we had, we interviewed this one guy named Kenneth a long time ago who works at this sex house called Hacienda Villa in Brooklyn. And he was like, yeah, he sat in on a casting for his friend. Her, his friend who was a woman was like, I really want a gangbang for my birthday. And he's like, well, let's make it happen. And they fucking casted it. And I was like, that's amazing.
Oh, so it was like a porn, but like it wasn't on camera.
It wasn't for camera. It was just because she
but
wanted
a gangbang.
But they casted
it.
Yeah,
like,
it was a lot of experience.
Right.
It was like, immersive. Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah. Because I'm like, oh, all these fantasies, you know, porn. I don't know why I was thinking about this. Like, I never want a man to ever make fun of visualization ever again. Because I'm like, you fucking visualize fucking people all goddamn day.
Right.
You
right.
do it too, Bill.
Yeah, yeah.
That was just an afterthought. But yeah, there's so many like fantasy scenarios that are depicted in porn that I'm like, how do you get that to fucking happen in real life? The three-way I'm good at. And but the gangbang thing, I mean, that's, you know, a leap. I'm like a single, I'm not even sleeping with one person, so I need to like do
what?
That first.
How many people can constitutes a gangbang? Five?
I think four. I think honestly three plus.
Three guys and a girl?
I think three guys and a girl.
Yeah.
would be a gangbang. Or
are there any additional
little
women in this gangbang? I don't know.
But I think would be a real
four
gang
guys
bang.
Sound good. Yeah. Four guys in one you. Well, yeah. I don't if it's only men you're casting, I don't think that would necessarily be that difficult. Well, it would be difficult for you to make it say.
Right. Well, I think the problem is that it's illegal, right? So
is
like
it? It's not for money.
When it's not on camera. Like, so that's
the
crazy
thing. Is it illegal
thing.
When it's not on camera?
Well, because if you're paying the people that you're casting, then that's prostitution. Yeah. Which is
well, you can't. You gotta
which
just
is bullshit.
Be like, I'll just experience
like,
only.
Because if they filmed it, then like suddenly it's like totally fine.
Right.
But like that would be if we ever do get to a place in our society where we are understanding that that is not a big deal.
Right.
That would be a cool like business model. You're like, you know, it's like actually so a kink. My first gangbang that I did was for Kink and this great company in San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah. I like their videos.
Yeah, they
and I like they show the conversation
before
the kink, which is a missing piece.
They treat you like so good. You
good.
Know?
That's good.
Oh,
to hear.
This wasn't actually my first one, I guess. This was maybe a little bit farther into it. I did a few. But it was for this site called Fantasy Gangbang, and it's a female director. And so she goes like, you know, what's your fantasy? Like,
yeah.
Not
actually
just like,
asking you.
Right. Like what, like not just like you want to get gangbanged, but like, do you want them to be like firefighter? Like, you know, what's your like,
yeah.
what's your
yeah.
little kink you got going on? And so I wanted to be a virginal sacrifice to like a cult.
Ooh, oh, that's great.
Good one.
It was really
good
cool.
One.
They built this whole set for me. They cooked this massive meal for like, yeah. Oh my God.
They cooked
we shot
a
it, like
meal
an old
you...
70s horror film. It was
that's
really,
really
cool.
Really
yeah.
Did you eat after or before?
No, the eating was not. It was for the guys. It was basically we did this cool shot where like they kind of bring me out and like it's all these guys in cloaks and they're like, you know, eating and they kind of eating it like disgustingly, you
right,
know,
like
to
ravenous.
Kind of it was like a little, you know, pre thing while I'm like, and then they like pour this like wine on me.
Nice.
But that day I actually had a torn asshole. So I take it.
What does a gal do?
I called in with a torn asshole.
Yeah. I tore my butthole today. No, it's like the least day I want to tear my butthole.
That sounds very painful.
I tore my asshole once I had to go to the ER.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
crazy.
More fiber, man. You really got to eat a lot of fiber.
Oh,
yeah. Asa cares when it turned me on to corn husk or psyllium
husk.
I
just took some right before I came here.
Nice.
I didn't know what we'd be getting into, you know?
Oh man, that sucks.
Well, it had happened like a month before, so I'd taken like a break from like anal and stuff, but I was like, okay, like I think I was feeling fine. I thought everything was good.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like a terrible tear or anything, you know, it was just a little painful and I was like, this is unsafe to work with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I like went to I flew up to Kink and then I went to go out, like, you know, do my final little cleaning before the scene and blood starts coming out.
Oh,
and I was like, Oh no. And
man.
I could feel it. And I was like, fuck, like it's not better.
Yeah.
But I'm like, they flew up six guys and me.
Well,
can
San
you just Francisco.
Do it in the other hole?
They built a whole set. I'm like, I mean, what am I going to, I'm not going to be like, sorry guys, like all this money, like,
yeah
I'm going home, you know, like,
right.
I'm like, I can't do that. Like,
how about
I
an
know-
anus stand in?
Wait.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you just do a close up on the asshole, you're not going to know. Have to do DP or anal? Like, could you just do vaginal?
I guess, but
that's
I mean, it's
hole.
Kink. It's kink. It's
right.
a gangbang.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's six guys.
They're
you need three holes.
Yeah. Right.
I mean,
yeah.
It was
just.
Well, luckily, I knew like all the guys in that scene. I was like, I worked with them before. You
okay.
know, and I like knew all of them. We'd all like worked together a million times.
See, that's my other fantasy. All the like multiple guys that I fucked in one room while
yes.
fucking me. That's what I'm talking about. That's because
they like all know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
Right?
I like
and
that most
like,
people's nightmare is Christina's fantasy. Certain ones don't get together. I
because
don't
they all
to
have
see
something that they like about you too, right? And then
yeah.
like, but there might be something different.
Yeah,
like that's cute. No, I like I fuck with that. I get that. But yeah, he was, you know. So I just go out to the guys and I'm like, hey, listen, this is the situation.
Company meeting.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm, you know, usually I'm very anti-lube. I'm like, that's why God gave you spit. fuck yes. lube. It's disgusting.
Even Babeland lube?
So I just.
Like water based? For your butthole? Oh, I spit you do. Okay.
Yeah, it just is sticky. Spit, yeah. Just yeah. spit. It's yeah. way better. It's
spit is
way...
hotter, but sometimes it's just not enough for anal, I feel.
Yeah, I know. Especially if you're fucked up, then you got to be like, oh God, I have no spit. You know, it's yeah. happened to me before, but these guys are pros. They got yeah. plenty of spit.
Yeah.
So.
Love a man who could spit.
So I'm like, okay, you know, like just like this time I actually like I need lube like in the butt. Like yeah. I don't if I was like if I see a dick going towards my butthole and there is not lube on it, I'm gonna freak the fuck out because like we need this lubed up so hard because I'm in a fragile state.
Yeah.
And I'm like, aww. Can everyone just be like respectful and you know?
Yeah.
And of course, like, you know, they're all top guys.
Yeah.
I'm friends with them. I've worked with them a million times. I trust them.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we got you. Like,
aww, that's so nice.
It was really sweet. And I was really, really scared. Like, I was like, this is going to be bad, bad, bad. And that was actually, I think, that scene was when I go, I think I'm done with porn. Not because it was bad, but because it was like, I felt like that was the pinnacle.
Yes.
The scene was just so good. It was just everything that I, and it was like the craziest stuff that you could be doing.
Did you come during it?
Oh, yeah.
Did
it you come great. When you shoot? Yeah, I know. Yeah, of
nice.
Course. For see, the most part. Not always. I mean, okay. You know.
What happens if you sometimes start bleeding? You gotta,
yeah, but yeah. What happens in what?
What happens if you start bleeding on set? Do they have to stop it or do they have protocol?
Oh, yeah, that'd be a big what's, deal. That's like, yeah.
That's what I was wondering.
Because it's safety?
It's safety.
And also, that's another
it's
category.
It's legality.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. A lot of the credit card companies and stuff, if there's any kind of discharge that isn't like huh? jizz, yeah, like pee a lot of times is banned.
Really?
And it's like the credit card companies that let people buy it.
Yeah.
Won't let you buy porn with piss in it and blood in it.
Yeah, like yeah. period, like which is crazy because I feel like I think we need to normalize period sex.
Yeah, because not enough men are going.
Well, and that's
with
a different
because
that's not
and
an
that's
open
a, that's
wound.
That's my horniest time of the month.
I know it's yeah. really cruel.
That's not
it's
an
a really
open
cruel trick.
Wound. That's like a completely different type of blood. It doesn't it, logically it doesn't make any sense because right. obviously an open wound, yes, that is dangerous.
It's yeah. more dangerous, right? Yeah. No, it's definitely more dangerous.
Yeah.
You're at a much higher risk of
yeah,
like,
of course,
passing, you know, STDs and everything like that, especially the worst ones, you know, that you're gonna be able to get. So it's definitely, but we have with period blood. But that's just the society we live in. And I think we need that. That needs to be its own thing on Pornhub.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Is that a thing? Like, do people so people don't shoot like period sex scenes on porn?
I'm sure they do, but not like it's got to be on like some clip site or something. You know? I've never actually seen any. There's got to be some.
I've never either. Actually, now that you mention it.
Yeah,
me
no,
either.
They will always like any kind of.
But
like,
I'll see a guy eat cereal
out
of a girl's asshole. Any
Mike's actually
day.
Looking it up right now for
yeah,
us.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
He's been working on it.
Period
I'm like,
porn.
There's. I mean, there's all kinds of porn on the internet, but I just know yeah. that a lot of the pay platforms won't let you yeah. like use it, which is crazy. It's like, yeah, you're so. That's so fucked up.
So annoying.
This is society just keeping us down.
Uh huh. It is.
Oh.
Have you ever been presented with a scenario to shoot that you were like, nope.
Yes, but I did it anyway because that's my personality.
Because I'm a gal.
Pretty much every day, I'd be like, "Yeah, no, I don't think I want to do that." And they'd be like, "You can do it." And I'd be like, "Okay, fine.
I can do it. Can I?" What was like? What's one that sticks out?
Well, one of my last scenes, which was in that contract. That one was just it was a dirty talking movie, and ooh. I don't dirty talk. And I'm not good at it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Really?
And it's crazy because I don't shut the fuck up normally, but even like being on this like tour and like doing, you know, DJing on this like comedy thing, they give me a mic and they're like, oh, you should talk to the crowd more. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, I got nothing.
I got nothing.
I'm like,
yeah. So when the spotlight's on
you. Guys
on you,
having
like,
a good time? Like, yeah.
We do. You teach her? Oh, cool.
We're getting
okay.
fucked up. That's yeah. about, that's all.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like that. I feel like with, like, dirty talk, I just feel very put on the spot. I'm good at, like, responding. Like, if a guy's really good at dirty talk.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, tell me this. Like, you know, asking me, like, I can get really into that and sure. back into it.
When
but
he guides you?
Yes.
Oh, God.
That's hot. Love yeah. that. But ugh. I'm certainly not going to be the driving force in
right.
the dirty talk, you know? And, like, yeah. sometimes you got to do, like, the VR stuff they started doing recently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, do they do VR where the woman wears the fucking head, the camera? And the guys, like, not that the guy's getting, but, like, VR porn is always shot from the guy's perspective.
Ew, yeah, you're so right.
Because like, Ryan Driller we had on, and he was like, VR porn was like my biggest category that I would film. It always had me film. And I'm like, they never fucking do that. I would love to watch porn where the woman is wearing the camera.
Right. Yeah, no, that's kind of fucked up. Because I've done like a girl with a guy. Yeah. But like never is... Oh, no, I want that job. I want to be the girl wearing the camera.
Right.
You're just getting like eaten out. Well, because the thing is like the guys don't have to talk. That's what's the craziest thing. Because like they're like the guy can't like really touch you unless you tell them to touch you.
Really?
You know, they're not really supposed to talk. Because so you're literally looking at a camera and you just gotta like dirty talk to the
like
camera.
Like it's the love of your life.
And then you're not getting any connection with the person. And it's like.
How far is the camera from the guy's eyes?
It's kind of like, I mean, sometimes like they just gotta be back sometimes. I mean, sometimes you can still kind of see them, but it's very disconnected. It's kind of like, you know, they're like, if they're like laying down, like the camera's like kind of, you know, it's like kind of always blocking their face.
Yeah.
But that would be great because like if I got to wear that, you just like, you just lay back and you like get eaten out and like fucked and you don't have to like.
Yeah. I feel like more women need to get into VR. I think because it's like it's everything is about money in the end in America. So it has to be like more women have to be into VR. Because when you think of who's into VR, it's more men.
I guess, yeah.
But I like VR.
Yeah,
like,
I have a VR headset.
You have a VR headset. I've done VR before. Yeah.
But also, too, you can watch VR porn, like even just porn from the woman's perspective, like fucking a guy or getting fucked by a guy.
Right.
I guess, yeah. Like if you, I'm just imagining a woman do it like getting it from behind. She has to look back and you're just seeing this guy like,
yeah.
Like the camera angles her like, hey, how you doing back there?
I don't know. Great. I feel like you got to be like super straight to want to watch from the girl's perspective though.
Yeah.
Because even like, I'm like, you got to be hetero as fuck. Because I feel like even some of my straight girlfriends are like, oh yeah, I only watch the girl in porn. Like they'll watch girl like porn, even though they only fuck guys in real life, you know?
Right.
They want to see a girl get fucked. So I'm like, you got to be like, yeah, I just want to watch a dude just like jerk it off. Like, you're like,
a guy's just a walking dick to me. How have you found, so you got out of porn 6 years ago and you're DJing, you're on the road. It's got to be so much fucking fun. You're hanging out with some of the best comedians on the fucking planet. I mean, comedians are such a goddamn good time. Does your past career in porn like not creep up on you? Because it's not like something to be creeped up on, but like, do people stop you in the street? They're like, hey.
Oh, I mean, there's even like the other night when I wasn't allowed to perform at Dayton, it was funny because I went out to the buses. So I'm just running around and, you know, I'm having a great time. I got a paid night off. Got to start smoking weed early in the day because I don't got shit to do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just having a great time. So I'm in no way concerned. Everyone got me flowers. They got me gifts, chocolate.
Like, bitch, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh my God, like we're so sorry because like I couldn't go up on stage at the end. Like when they bring everyone up, so they're like, here's some flowers. I'm like, nice. You could have just told me like, don't go up on stage because I
would have went right over my head.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
But you know, then I would go out to the buses just to grab something, and there's like this, like, you know, one of the venue people's, and not the guy who decided I couldn't be there. You know, he's just someone who works there.
Yeah.
But it's this older gentleman. So I come up and I'm like, oh, hey, like, oh, I'm like, couldn't find my pass. And I'm like, oh, the guy. Oh, like, you know, and he was like, oh, I know. And I'm like, I wasn't even on the show. Like, it's not like you saw me up there and you were like, oh, yeah, that's the DJ. Like, you know,
right.
I was like, damn, like, that was.
Damn, dude.
You just put me on the spot. I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. So you get that. But I don't really mind as long as, like, I think there's such a way to say it to someone. Like,
sure.
I've had people come up and go, like, yo, I fucking love your porn. I'm like, that's
nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that I would respect. And, like, they're owning it. They own it, and they're not being weird about it. The second a guy would be, like, weird about it, I'd be like, get the fuck out of my face.
Well, as long as you can see that they see you as a human being.
Yeah.
I think that's really porn. Not a high expectation, but it surprisingly is.
It is in today's world. And also, like, we're over-consuming. Like, America is very over-consume, dopamine, fake dopamine. And I feel like with guys and porn addiction, like, one of the things that's interesting, Esther Perel talks about this, porn doesn't expect anything of you.
Right.
So it's like when I masturbate, a lot of times I'll come harder than if I'm during sex because I'm in my head so much, depending on the situation. But I'm like, I do get get that, but it's like, oh, because of that, we're going for this easy thing and we're not like actually doing the work to be like, how do I be present in a sexual situation? But that's the guy's fault, I guess. Like the guy has to want to be on top of that and like recognize it.
No, that's 100%. I mean, even for me, like getting out of the business, something I'm like, I probably should go to therapy for this, to be honest.
Really?
But just something I've noticed is that, you know, where you're saying like, you know, you can get really in your own head. You can be so focused because there's no distractions when you're like masturbating.
Yeah.
And but with porn, you know, you never turn your brain off. Mm. You're always, where's the camera? Where's this? Like, oh, my hair is in the way. Like, you know, there's a million things you're thinking of and you're performing. So you might be enjoying it. It could be a fun day. You could have a great orgasm, but your brain isn't off. Right. You're constantly thinking and you're performing. And so getting out of the business, you know, because for years I really didn't have much sex outside of porn because I was working every day.
Right.
So
right. I'm getting
even
fucked,
when
I'm
I was
good.
Like, I dated a guy in the industry and like, you know, we both like, he'd do like three scenes that day and we were like, can you just like hold me?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, that's really sweet. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, that's like, what a relationship, that's like the beauty of an intimate romantic relationship is like that closeness like that.
Right. And it doesn't have to just be sex, especially when that's what you do for a living and you don't see that is just an intimate act. I think sex is very intimate and it should be, but I don't think it has to be.
Right.
You know, I think there can be some sex that's very non-intimate.
Sometimes you just want to get fucking railed and not look at the guy.
Yeah. And that's okay. And I think that's, it's maybe an intimacy with yourself. Right?
Yeah.
To like have that moment.
Well, I think that's why like porn, I don't know. It's weird. I feel like men, the way men consume porn, it's just such a, I don't know why I feel this way. Like I'm like, I'm always asking like, am I projecting on here? But I've not been watching porn lately just because I'm like, I want to get off on my imagination just because I want to dive into that and like expand it. I think my problem is just getting laid in general. I just need to get laid in general. I think, yeah. Because it's like easy to watch porn too often and just kind of,
I barely ever watch it, but yeah. I'm fucked up from like trying to get out of my head.
Yeah.
In like normal sex.
Right.
Where, you know, cause especially I would always get nervous. Like, oh, what does this guy expect from me?
Right.
Like, does he think, cause I remember like my ex that was the married one that was so crazy, you know, cause he'd always like, of course he'd go watch my porn and then be upset about it. I'm like, just don't watch it then.
Yeah.
But you know, he's like, why is it like when you have sex with me, like, why is that how you have sex on camera? And I'm like, well, because he thought it was too similar. And he was like, you know, it's like, and I'm like, well, that's because I'm good at it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's kind of like, like, you know, if you're an actress, like, you know, if someone doesn't go like, oh, you know, when you like pretended to drink that cup of hot coffee, why is it like when you actually drink hot coffee?
Yeah, right.
Because it's good acting.
Right. You know? I'm in it.
Yeah. And so, you know, but I was always like, yes, it's totally different, but yes, there is also something that's similar, and that's why, you know, I'm a good performer. But then, so that really got me in my head about stuff where I'd go, oh, well, I don't want to, am I overperforming?
Yeah.
Or am I underperforming? Mm, where I suddenly go, I don't give a shit because there's no camera. And I'm like, fuck you. Like, I'm all about trying to get off. So I kind of always have this. I mean, even now to this day, and it's been years and it's still something. I mean, it's gotten much, much better.
Good, yeah.
But it's still something I like do have to kind of like, you know, I like to smoke a little weed before sex. That always kind of helps me
chill.
If I'm like dead sober, especially like coming off some Adderall, you know, oh God.
I'm just like, oh no.
And I've been with my dude for 6 years and, you know, I fucking love him. He's my best friend. We live together, you know, there's so much comfortability there. And, you know, our sex life is great. But then at the same time, there's just those times where I can't really, I start panicking and going like, who am I? Like, am I Carter Cruz the person or like the porn star, right?
Yeah.
So.
Is that a conversation you've had with your boyfriend?
Yeah, we talked about it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he's a kind of an anxious person.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's kind of the same way, you know?
Yeah, that's sweet.
And it's cute because a lot of girls I know from the business that were, you know, kind of like still big in the business when I was getting out, they're maybe a little younger than me.
Yeah.
But I'm still friends with a bunch of those girls. And, you know, at the time when I was kind of getting out, they were like, oh, this is great. And now seeing a bunch of them years later, we all have this problem. Like, we don't, you know?
Oh, yeah,
and so it's this really interesting thing where you think all these girls like, oh, we're just like sex fiends and we're all just going like, oh my God, like, I don't know, like how to even have sex with my boyfriend.
Oh,
like,
yeah. It's hard to be vulnerable and intimate sometimes. Yeah. Well, it's so funny because even like non-porn star women, I feel like worry about being performative because of porn, and also like guys' expectations. Yeah. It's just, it takes work. You kind of have to boldly go after being present.
Right. Yes. You know? Yes. You have to just grab it by the balls.
Yeah, grab it by the balls and be with yourself the whole time. Yeah.
Is there like a porn star therapist? Because there's a therapist that specialize in like comedians basically, or like that we find out and then like all the comedians go to that same therapist.
Oh my God. I need that. If there is one. If you guys have anyone on the podcast that tells you about it, please let me know.
Yeah.
Because that's always the weird thing too, is like you can go into a therapist and they could be like open-minded.
Right.
But like they're not going to really get it.
They're so human. That's the problem. Like it's such a specific thing. Like how it's almost like, how do you give advice about something that's not like a traditional human experience?
Right.
It's a specific one.
Yeah. Like they're just people that are never going to like get your, you know, struggle, or like they're never going to understand your thought process.
Yeah.
And they could sit there all day and go, okay, you know, I'm open-minded. I accept you and I'm trying to help you work through this, but they just don't get it. And I'm not going to pay, you know, a ton of fucking money to sit there and tell someone about shit that they don't know anything about, right, and then have them give me advice.
Like, how can
on
you
it
help me?
Yeah. Yes. Explain the industry to them. Yeah.
So maybe that'll be the next phase of my career.
Yeah.
I'll become a therapist.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like
dad, a guess the needed fuck what?
Yeah.
Guess
yeah
the fuck what, dad?
I got a real job.
So we have to wrap up, but I wanted to ask, what do you want to promote? Like, where can we find more of you? Like, what are you still sell merch? Like, you're on the bus tour with Bert. Like, what, where can we find you?
Yeah, I'm on the bus tour with Bert. I don't know when this is going to come out.
Probably
but
like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'll be done by then. But okay. Yeah, definitely will be lots of fun videos and stuff to check out. I got some new music coming out.
Nice.
But yeah, you can find me on socials. It's just at Carter Cruz everywhere. Carter, like Carter, and
nice.
Cruise like cruise ship.
Like Beyonce Giselle Knowles say, Carter.
I used to name. Say Carter like the president, because like Jimmy Carter, but yeah. Then I'm like, now in like 2022, it's like that was like 10 years ago, and I'm like,
you say like
now
Carter?
Like everyone's like, who the fuck is Jimmy Carter? And he wasn't even like that big of a president. It was just like, it sounded funny to say
who the
it
fuck is Jimmy?
It's not like I'm like a big like fan
was,
of Jimmy Carter.
I feel like he was a pretty big president.
Just
one
say
of the,
like
more memorable ones,
like Beyonce, Jay-Z, Carter. Beyonce, yeah. Giselle Knowles Carter. Carter's
or like
name,
or like Lil Wayne, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, Carter, exactly. You know?
Like, I also think that people Tucci maybe can just spell Carter.
Yeah. I mean, no one's trying to spell with a K,
it's
right?
The Cruz one that always gets everyone. They spell it with a Z.
Oh,
I'm like,
okay.
I'm obviously like extremely white,
right?
It would be offensive if it was spelled with a Z.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
This has been Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday. Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary.
Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson.
Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares?
You gotta be down to get a little dirty. Draw outside the lines and break the frame. Show me how you finger paint. Hips, thighs, lips, belly. Dip your brush now, butter chili. You got me feeling like a lumen. Naturally, I rise from your bed like I rise from the sea. You got me feeling like me see you phone. Sex on the beach, sex at home. Ooh, we got the sheets so soaking wet. I guess you could call it a waterbed.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.